We find in 1 Samuel chapter 13, beginning in verse 13, and Samuel said to Saul, "You have done foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of the Lord your God, which he commanded you. For now the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever. But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has commanded him to be commander over his people. Because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." For a few minutes this morning, I want us to consider this phrase, "You have done foolishly." Before we get into the lesson, I want to again welcome everyone that's able to be here. We're thankful for visitors with us. And when we look at this, I have someone in mind about this lesson. And that is myself. All of us, I need to ask myself, have I done something foolishly? Sometimes, and when we look at this, Saul did not consider the commandment of the Lord. He had it. He had the prophet speaking to him. "You have acted foolishly. You have not kept the commandment of Yahweh, your God." When we think about people doing things, we can see when someone else does something foolishly, yet we usually do not see it in ourselves. What does this word mean? Foolish, it signifies without reason, want of mental sanity and sobriety, a reckless and inconsiderate habit of mind, or a lack of common sense, not understanding, senseless. Sometimes it carries a moral reproach in contrast with sober-minded or self-controlled. It describes one who does not govern his lust, and it is associated with evil desires. And when we look here in 1 Samuel 13, verse 14, "But now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought for himself a man after his own heart." Friends, I'll let you in on a little secret. God is still seeking men after his own heart. Some people talk like David was the only one that was being referred to here. God wants all of us to seek him after his own heart. Well, what does the Bible say about being a fool or foolish? Because Samuel said that Saul was he acted foolishly. And you stop and think about this. So you have Samuel, the prophet of God, spokesman for God, speaking to the king of Israel. That was the king. He was the king, yet he said that he was foolish. Well, when we look at some other scriptures, Psalm 14:1, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good." Proverbs 12:15, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise." Have you ever seen someone, you know what they're doing is wrong, but they know in their own eyes that they are right? I have to ask myself, am I that way? Proverbs 15:5, "A fool despises his father's instruction, but he who receives correction is prudent." Proverbs 23:9, "Do not speak in the hearing of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of your words." Some people, you just can't convince them of the folly that they are in. Luke 12:20, "But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?" This is something that I ask myself so many times. What if I were to die today? What if I were to die tomorrow? Have I done everything that I can that God wants me to do? Have I done everything that I can to share his words with others? Saul, he acted foolishly. This is a painting from one of the museums of fine arts in Sweden. And it shows him after Samuel comes to him and tells him, but now your kingdom will not endure. So in this world that we live in today, we live in a world of self-worship. People have ignored standards of morality, truth, right and wrong. To even say that there is wisdom and foolishness, a lot of people would say, well, who are you to say that? Who are you to impose what you think on what I believe? People want to get away from that. They just want to worship themselves. But here, Samuel equates Saul's disobedience with God as foolishness. And friends, so is our disobedience with God. I'm just calling it like the Bible calls it. If I do not do what God says, I'm acting foolishly. There are several instances in Saul's life where his disobedience stands out. In chapter 13, verses 8 through 14, he's usurping the priestly office. In 1 Samuel 14, he gives this foolish order not to eat. He who eats shall die. And then who ate after he gave that order? His son Jonathan did. His son Jonathan ate honey. It was a foolish order. In 1 Samuel 15, 1 through 23, he was told to utterly destroy the Amalekites. He did not do that. And Samuel rebukes him. Friend, Saul was foolish because he disobeyed God. How about me? How about you? There are some things that we need to consider about disobedience. One of the first things I would like for us to consider is disobedience reveals character. Saul's disobedience revealed his character. You know, I don't know what's inside of you. You don't know what's inside of me until we go to God's Word and we see where God tells us something to do it, and then whether I'm going to do it or I'm going to do what I want to do. And when we see Saul disobeying God's Word, the same thing happened to him that will happen to each of us when we disobey God's Word. Saul went farther and farther down the wrong path. And then eventually, as Samuel prophesied, he was going to have his kingdom removed from him. So disobedience reveals our character. Disobedience shows a lack of love. Jesus said in John chapter 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. If I love what Christ says, I'm going to do everything that I can to keep his commandments. And John records in 1 John 5:3, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. And friends, love is a great motivator. We're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, with all of our strength. And when we disobey God, it shows a lack of love. The one that loved us more than we can describe, and then I'm not going to show love back to him. The one that lifted me up out of the pit of sin, he lifted me up, he redeemed me, he reconciled me. The one that paid the price for my sin, he loved me so much he gave his only begotten son. And then when I do not do what God tells me to do, I am showing a lack of love toward God. Well, when we disobey, it shows a lack of respect for authority. We see this with children and parents. And again, Malachi always comes to mind with this. When we do not obey, Malachi 1:6, a son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence? Says the Lord of hosts to you priests who despise my name. God is our Father, and how do we honor him? We simply do what he simply asks us to do. And when we do not do that, it shows a lack of respect for authority. We realize that in our physical family. If one of our children, we tell, when our children were at home, if I would tell our sons or our daughter to do something, they knew they were supposed to do it. If they didn't, they were taught that they were being disrespectful. And that's probably one of the reasons why we have disrespectful people in the church today, is because they aren't taught to respect authority in the home when they are little. So they grow up thinking, I can do whatever I want to. And what do you call that? You call that foolishness. You have done foolishly. You have acted foolishly. It shows a disrespect. You think about Saul again. He began his kingship in humility, but then he becomes disobedient. And in 1 Samuel 15:15, and Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. See here, Saul he's telling a lie. When he was told to go in and utterly destroy the Amalekites, and then Samuel is, what's the sound that I hear? What's the sound that I hear? And Saul blames it on the people. They brought them from the Amalekites. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord. But the rest we have utterly destroyed. And friends, here's a lesson all of us must learn. What was Saul doing here? What was the excuse that he was using? He disobeyed God, but I'm doing it for religious purposes. And I really wasn't the one that's doing it. It was the people that did it. But Lord, we save these to sacrifice to you. To you. You see, you throw that emotion in there, and it's got to be okay. And friends, we cannot use religion to justify something for which we have no authority. And Saul lost his kingdom. He lost his kingdom. What am I going to lose? Well, disobedience is foolish. Samuel told Saul he had done foolishly. 1 Samuel 13:13. Saul himself admitted in 1 Samuel 26:21, I have played the fool. Then Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will harm you no more, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Indeed, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Friends, the person, you or me, that comes to the judgment in a state of disobedience is going to say the same thing. I have acted foolishly. It's not that I am not told what to do or what not to do. I can't claim ignorance, because God has revealed everything he wants us to do right here. It's not that it's too hard to understand. Paul told the Ephesians that when you read these things, you may understand. If I don't understand it, it's probably I'm not reading it, or I'm listening to what some man says instead of looking at what God says. And again, you think about this. This is, if anybody could say what was right or wrong, couldn't the king of Israel do that? No. And see, the Israelites were looking to this man to be their king, and they overlooked the bigger fact that God was their king. God was their king. And that, along with many other things, God was going to end up, because they didn't follow what God said, and they married strange women, and they went into idolatry, God was going to send them into captivity to teach them a lesson. But he loved them and was going to bring them out of captivity. But we have the king of Israel being told by a prophet of God that you have done foolishly. What are we going to say when we stand in judgment? Are we going to make up an excuse like Saul did and saying the people did this? We aren't going to be able to blame anybody except ourselves. Well, Jesus illustrates the foolishness of disobedience in Matthew chapter 7. It's a child story that we all know of. The wise man and the foolish man. The wise man built his house on the rock. The foolish man built his house on the sand. We all know that children's song, yet sometimes we don't make application to our lives. Sometimes I don't make application to my life. Disobedience is foolish because it fails to take into consideration the consequences of sin. It fails to consider the wages of sin. If only we could see where sin will take us. Did Saul, when he spared King Agag and some of the livestock, did he see where that was going to take him? I don't believe he did when he did that. He wasn't thinking of that. He was just thinking about right now, today. Friends, when we sin, I think sometimes we're only thinking about today, but we don't see where that's going to take us. Saul would have heard Samuel say, God has taken this kingdom away from you, if he could have seen where that sin would take him. He would have seen how he was a disgrace to the people. He was a disgrace to the nation of Israel. He would have been able to see his own sons failing in battle. He would have seen he was so distressed and depressed, he was ready to take his own life. Friends, when we disobey God, we are acting foolishly and we fail to consider the wages of sin. The wages of sin is death. We are going to be removed from the farthest extreme of God. God is light. We are going to be in outer darkness where there's going to be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Disobedience is foolish, not only because it fails to consider the wages of sin, but on top of that, it dares God to carry out His justice. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. When God says, don't do this, and I do it, when He says not to, I am not considering the wages of sin, and I am daring God, I dare you. You said not to do it, I did it, I dare you to punish me. Friends, that's a sad state of mind. That's an arrogant state of mind. And we say, well, who would do that? Who would be so foolish to do that? But friends, you can look from east to west in this town and see people that have assembled today and they are acting foolishly because they are not following God's word. They are following man's word instead of God's word. When we disobey, it's the same as spitting in God's face and saying, I dare you. I dare you. How foolish. Friends, none of us are going to would think of doing that. And none of us know when we are going to leave this life and stand before God and Christ in judgment. And what are we going to say then? Every knee and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. He's the Son of God. And if we aren't willing to do that now, we are going to do that on the day of judgment. And if we aren't willing to do it now, we are going to do it then. And then what are we going to hear? depart from me. Depart from me. And I'll just add, depart from me, you acted foolishly. We didn't follow God's word. We will not be able to escape the grief and woe. Instead, we will have that for time without end. We think about God's law of sowing and reaping. And again, I like thinking of God's laws because all of his natural laws parallel his spiritual laws. Now, the other day when I was over here, I picked up a real nice sweet cantaloupe from up at Bayer's. Really nice juicy cantaloupe that just melts in my mouth. I love those. If I took those seeds and planted those seeds, what would I get? Would I get a tomato? No. Would I get a watermelon? No. I'd get a cantaloupe. Whatever we sow, that's what we're going to reap. Whatever we sow, we're going to reap it in a different season. Whatever we sow, the harvest is going to be much greater than that one seed that we planted. Well, what are we doing with our life? Friends, on the day of judgment, we are going to reap a greater harvest than what we have sowed here. It will either be an eternal harvest in heaven, or it will be eternal destruction in hell. Friends, disobedience is foolish. Disobedience is expensive. Disobedience, it robbed Saul of his kingdom. It robbed him of the company of one of his greatest friends, Samuel. After Samuel rebuked Saul the second time, he left him and he never saw him again. Why was that? Because he acted foolishly. He disobeyed. After Samuel died, Saul became so desperate to see Saul again. What did he do? He went to a witch, as some of the translations describe. He went to a woman that he hired to try to raise Saul from with the spirit to raise Saul up so he could see him again, the very man who he didn't want to listen to in the first time. Saul wanting to raise Samuel. So it was expensive to Saul because it robbed him of his life. And friends, it's expensive to us today because it'll rob us of our life. It robs us of our peace of mind. We know that when we are disobeying God, we are not going to be in fellowship with God. If we aren't careful, our conscience is going to be seared. You just stop and you think about the attack on the family today. Why is the attack on our family today so aggressive? It's because years ago we allowed abortion. It's because years ago when they started talking about homosexuality, that has become acceptable. Talking about sodomites, about lesbians, about transgender, talking and seeing disgusting things on TV of these drag queens reading stories to little children. It has become so aggressive because we have allowed it. It started, it wasn't stopped back here, it got worse and worse. It got worse and worse, it got worse and worse, worse and worse. And you can go back to Romans chapter 1, and it talks about when God gave them up, and you just see the downward spiral of people. This is nothing new. It went on back in the Old Testament. It went on in the first century. It's going on again today. And friends, we can't get sucked up in it. I have to ask myself, am I doing what God says? Am I following his word? Or am I acting foolishly? Disobedience is expensive. It robs us of our peace of mind. It'll rob us of fellowship with God. Light and darkness cannot coexist. They cannot exist together. Holiness and unholiness cannot exist together. We see that with Nadab and Abihu when they offered strange fire and God struck them dead, and Moses said, "See, this is what I said. God is holy, and those who come before him must be holy." So it robs us with the fellowship of God. And friends, disobedience will rob us of heaven. And some people will say, "Well, how can just one little thing keep you out of heaven?" Friends, it's not one little thing. It's not one little thing. Because whatever that thing is, we know what it cost. It cost the blood of Christ, the precious blood of the Son of God. That's the most expensive thing that we can think of. That sin has separated us from God. And we cannot live in sin. That's why when you read in the New Testament, basically, it says, repent or perish. We've got to turn back to God. God is our king. God is our king. We don't want to listen to what some man says. God is the one that tells us what to do. God is the one that's going to hold us accountable. God is the one that we are going to bow before him one day and confess his name. And I have to look at that in so many areas of my life. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Do I have peace of mind? Do I have fellowship with God? Do I have that hope of a home in heaven? And friends, whatever we do, we've got to understand we can't use religion to justify something for which we have no authority. I've got a lot of family and friends. They think they're going to heaven. When I read God's word, I don't see how they can be. And I don't mean to be meanful or disrespectful of them. But I'll tell you, no matter how much I love my family, I'm not going to go to hell for them. No matter how much I love them. God is our Father if we are his children. And we need to make sure that we are obeying God. We are obeying him from the heart. We obey right away. We obey all the way. We obey in a happy way. And God will be pleased with us. Friends, I pray this morning that when we look at our lives, when I look at mine, someone cannot say you have acted foolishly. There's a lot of foolish things that I have done. And I've tried to correct those things. Maybe there are some things that you've done in your life that you need to make correction. Friends, if there's anybody here this morning that needs to be obedient to the gospel invitation, we invite you to come forward now as we stand and sing.